The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hello all, welcome to Up the Poshcast, the poshcast made by the fans for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, posh fans. Peterborough United have been beaten 3-1 by Reading away at the, I don't even know what their stadium's called these days, the old Majeski Stadium. We're going to sum it up. Tonight, I'm joined by John, Dell, Lods, Charlie, me, Harry. And John, I'm going to send it to you first. What did you make of that? Our first loss in 9 games.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to go in all guns blazing on the team. I don't think they deserve that at this stage. They've done very well over recent weeks. And even today's performance, it was frustrating in the sense that, yeah, we conceded cheap goals and it felt a little bit like a performance that we put in early on in the season where we looked quite an attacking threat, but we were just very vulnerable at the back. And I think with a little bit more clinicality up front and a little bit more finishing prowess, we probably could have got something out of the game. I didn't think it was a terrible performance on the sort of Lincoln and Bristol Rovers scale. And ultimately, what I've been asking for on the pod is for Posh to play attacking football. And I'd much rather us lose that way than what we were losing in January and February. I did think there were some poor performers on the pitch, which I'm sure we'll get onto and talk about throughout this. There was multiple players who didn't quite hit the heights that they have in recent weeks, which was a frustration. And it wasn't sparkling by all means, but I don't think it's time to sort of throw the baby out of the bathwater, so to speak. And as much as I'm reluctant to do this, well, I say reluctant, but I'm probably the most critical of referees on this podcast, I would say. I do think the referee has to take some blame for our defeat today. I mean, at 2-0, he's missed an absolute stonewall penalty. Fergie says the lino's flagged it to him. He has completely ignored the linesman's advice. And it's just frustrating. It's another shit decision. And he was just awful all day. I mean, you just tear your hairs out at that level of referee. He's refereed in the Championship. And to me, it looked like, I mean, obviously he didn't, but it was almost like he was the only man over the last 12 months that Dai Young had paid. It was a disgraceful performance. And it just felt he was just so one-eyed in his refereeing towards Reading. And it wasn't just a penalty. It was getting in the way of a counter-attack. And obviously he's not done that deliberately, but it's poor positioning. And then he has the audacity to book Kean Hayes for moaning at him. And you're just like, why can't we moan at you? Because you've missed the Stonewall penalty. You've broken up our counter-attack now. Like, do you not deserve some criticism for that? Because it's sure as shit if it's a player. The players are getting on their back and saying, that's not good enough. Referee, you're not good enough. And I'm done with the Respect the Ref campaign because respect is earned. And across the season, the standard is woeful. I mean, we had a decent ref against Charlton last week. And then you just return to normality and this dross that constantly serves up and actually decide results of football games. You can say we were poor defensively, but the ref has had a massive part to play in that football match today. And it's very frustrating to be saying that.
Yeah, I think I'm probably on the opposite end of the spectrum to you, John, in terms of I'm probably the first to sort of defend referees on this podcast. I am a referee myself, although not at the level that, you know, the referees we have are, but
You are the same level as those referees.
maybe so. And I'm always quick to defend the general standard of officiating as well. I think officials do generally get most things right. But then you have blokes like the guy we had today. And they just let the side down, because that was one of the worst officiating performances I've ever seen. I've done the referees course recently. One of the first things you're told is, you know, if you've got an assistant referee and they have a better view than you, which, let's be honest, the assistant referee for the penalty had a better view than the referee, you go with that if they give you advice that they think it's, you know, a penalty or whatever it would be. The referee was behind the incident. The assistant referee had a side-on view, so he was able to see what actually happened between the two players. And then, to be fair to the ref, the only thing I would say is his assistant has absolutely sold him out there by saying that he wanted to give the penalty, because, you know, now they've got no leg to stand on. I wouldn't say that it was a necessarily massively biased performance. Obviously, I think his worst decision was missing that penalty, because I also think it would have been a clear red card. You know, it's denial of obvious goal scoring opportunity and there was no attempt to play the ball. So even though it was inside the penalty area, that is a red card. He would 100% have been sent off had the penalty been given. And, you know, then you're looking at 2-1, 10 men, you know, 25 minutes to play or so. It's a very, very different picture at that point. He's changed the game. There's no doubt about it. The counter-attack thing was probably my most explosive rant in a stadium ever at a referee. I just couldn't keep it in anymore. I completely lost my mind. It was an awful display. And then, you know, referee, he then goes over and books Fergie because one of Fergie's coaching staff threw a water bottle and he couldn't tell which one it was. So he just booked the head coach. Absolutely ridiculous. What an awful performance. And I never want to blame a referee for a defeat. And of course, there are other reasons we lost. But I honestly think the biggest reason we lost today, if we're taking the reasons as individual players, there was not a single player on Posh's side today that had more of a negative impact than the referee did on the final result, because he was atrocious.
Yeah, I normally have the same stance as Charlie, where I sometimes defend the referees when there's like a one-off incident that can be perceived in different ways. For example, the Harley Mills red card that happened earlier on in the season in front of the family sale. I can't remember who it was we were playing. Obviously, Posh fans are quick to say it was never a red card, but when you watch the replay back, it can be deemed as quite dangerous. And there was a bit of a debate on Twitter afterwards. I can understand referees making that kind of mistake. But today, the referee, he's made multiple errors. There's the penalty, which you guys have spoken about. And for me, the frustrating thing, it was a clear penalty. But the frustrating thing for me, and we've seen this from other referees as well, if you're not giving the penalty, what are you giving? Because is he saying that Ricky's dived in that situation? Because if he has, it's a free kick the other way and a booking. Or is he saying that the player's won the ball? Because if he has, then he's even more blind than what we think, because he's nowhere near the ball. What he actually gave, bizarrely, was a drop ball, which I don't even think you're supposed to do that, are you? If Ricky's injured and the keeper's kicked it out for a throw, fair enough. But the referee stopped the play because Ricky's on the floor and given their keeper a drop ball, which I couldn't understand. But I do think he wasn't as biased as what some Posh fans are making out. I do think he made some bad decisions for both teams. I think they should have had a penalty as well. I don't know who it was that fouled him, whether it was Dornelli or Fernandez. I think they both sort of manhandled him, but his shirt almost ripped completely in half. I think they had a fair shout for a penalty there, which he obviously didn't give to them. And then Dornelli as well. I don't know what it looked like from inside the stadium, but I had the benefit of the replay watching on the TV at home. He did go over the ball a little bit, Dornelli, and it was similar to that Mills challenge I was speaking about, actually, where I think some refs would have given a straight red for that. But this referee, for some reason, just gave a foul and didn't book or send him off, which he won the ball. I don't think there's an argument there. He won the ball. That he hit the ball before he hit the player. So it's either not a foul or it's reckless. So him not getting a card for that is just another decision that I just think, I mean, I'm not 100% with the rules, and Charlie might know better than me, but I'm pretty sure you can't just give a foul and not a card if you think it's a reckless challenge. And then there was multiple other ones. I think there was like two in the space of 2 minutes where Sissoho got fouled from behind by the same player, and that player avoided a booking both times. And then just various other niggling ones. I think Dornelli was fouled in the build-up to the I think it was the last goal as well. So yeah, just really frustrating performance from the referee. But I also don't think he was the reason why we lost the game. I think he was a contributing factor of why the result looked as bad as it has. But I think there's probably other reasons why we lost the game.
You know, 100% there, lads, with ref not costing us a game. But the ref was awful. And I just want to echo what you were saying. The ref was so bad, not just for us, but for them as well. You know, some of the decisions that he wasn't giving was just fucking unbelievable. What I do want to go back to, though, is all this about saying the penalty. It was a blatant penalty. Everybody saw it apart from the ref. Now, if the linesman said to the ref, it's a penalty, why wasn't the linesman, like, flagging for a penalty like they meant to? You know, because at no stage did the lino flag for a penalty. Now, if the lino did flag for a penalty, the minimum that's got to happen is the ref's got to have a conversation with him. None of that happened. So it wasn't only the ref that was awful. It was the linesman as well, especially one down in front of us. Hit first half, he was awful. Second half, he was fucking awful. But yeah, no, you're right about Donnelly as well. The you know, he got fouled down in the left back. They've gone forward. I can't remember who it was who gave a foul away, a soft foul. They've taken a free kick, scored, job done. It was just, you know, I know it's tough for the referee and we all make mistakes, but you don't expect to see somebody make that many mistakes in a game, you know, from the officials, because it was pretty bad. But fuck, it's so frustrating. But yeah, no, I just thought, before everybody says the ref cost us a game, we won't. I'll go on to a player in a minute and a few players that I think did actually potentially cost us a game. But the referee didn't help, but it wasn't solely down to the ref. And, you know, yeah, he was fucking shit.
Do you know one thing which really frustrates me as well is just when you hear about the referee completely ignoring his linesman today, and then you go back to last week where the linesman's given a penalty to Wrexham, and that was purely because James McLean shouted at him, which was an incorrect decision. And it's these sort of inconsistencies that just plague refereeing and officiating. And how are you as fans supposed to know what is the correct procedure? If the referee one week gives a penalty clearly on the advice of his linesman, completely overrules himself and says, OK, that's a penalty. Right. The next week, you've got a referee completely ignoring his fourth official or assistant referee and not giving a penalty because he's decided that it's not. So both of them ended up in the wrong decision, in my opinion. But they also just completely expose the consistency of officiating across the Football League. And it's this sort of stuff which really winds me up. The Football League have to get a grip on it because the standards are so poor across the league. And I know refereeing is a tough job. And I'm sure there'll be people, just like last time when I had a complaint about referees, that say, well, why don't you go into it? But I realise it is a thankless task. But it's this inconsistency for me. I think I could accept the wrong decisions if at least they were all doing the same things. But it's almost like one ref has one rule and another has another. And it's luck of the draw which one you're going to get.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have anything to add on this. I agree with all the sentiments so far. And it was a real frustrating day on that front. I guess focusing on the players, it was interesting that we had two changes to our back four compared to the Charlton game, and perhaps one change compared to what we've had in this big unbeaten run in particular. And it did not look as good at the back. For those listening, our ratings will come out later, but we have not scored Manny Fernandez well on this one.
And rightly fucking so, because, you know, at the start of the season, he was playing okay, to be fair. And, you know, I wouldn't say waxing lyrical, but we was giving him the credit and the credit he deserves. Fair play. But today, fucking hell. So, has he not played for months? Does he not know how to play football? He come across as like a lazy, lethargic cunt. Simple as that, right? And some of his passing, what, you know, the lazy pass to give away the first goal. Oh, I'll just put it out. Fuck off. That was schoolboy stuff, and that is giving disrespect to schoolboys. You know, it was immature, it's basic. And then a little bit later after that, he sort of had the ball down in the corner and he sort of lost it. And instead of like getting back to get it, he just like stood back and then he scored again. You know, I think Manny has been absolutely fucking atrocious. And if he's trying to get a Wembley place, he needs to try a lot harder than that. Because for me personally, he will not be fucking starting another game for me this season, because, you know, it was no surprise he got hooked. I think the only surprise was he didn't get hooked before halftime because he was that bad. If anybody can come back at me and defend Manny against what I've just said, come and speak to me, you know. Message us on the pod, let us know, because that was fucking embarrassing. It was an inept performance. And you know what? Wallin, for example, he must be fucking, if he's injured, he must be looking back thinking, fuck me, I'm in no danger. Because Manny done absolutely nothing to sort of cement getting a position back. And it's embarrassing. It's disgusting. I have no issues losing a game, you know, when everybody put the effort in, but just the way that he sort of puts himself about. I was on the one of the Reading pods during the week, and I said about Manny is like a fucking man. Manny is a big bloke. I said, but he's very lethargic. And today, they would have seen, he's just, he thinks he's somebody, he thinks he's better than what he is. He thinks he's made it, you know, and, mate, you've got a long way to go. I have no doubt there's potentially potential in you, but you haven't got it yet, mate, and stop being a fucking... Look at me strolling around trying to fucking put a pass in, because it don't become you. Mate, this is League One. Fucking League One, not the Premiership, not fucking Champions League. So until you get good at being a defender, fucking get your work effort up, effort, and start getting stuck in and fucking be a footballer, not a fucking, I don't know, whatever you are, fucking ice dancer. Anyway, I'm a bit fucking angry with Manny because you were shit today, mate.
I'm completely with you, Del. I think I said before the game, as soon as I saw Manny on the team sheet, my excitement for the game decreased. I genuinely, watching him play for Posh, even when he's playing okay, I find it lessens my enjoyment of the game considerably, because he just does not look bothered. And whether that's his thing and he wants to look nonchalant and he wants to look sort of calm and wants to be Virgil van Dijk, you know, he's Virgil van Schaik. That's what he is. He is an absolutely awful defender. I cannot, you know, I think, you know, I probably do a better job at defending himself than he would, but still, I cannot defend him. Wallin, at least I can defend slightly, because he looks like he tries and he looks like he cares and he looks like he's putting himself about and running himself ragged. And even when he's making mistakes, he's trying to recover from it. Manny hooks the ball into midfield and then sort of realises, oh no, I've played it straight to their most dangerous midfielder, and saunters into the back line and then takes up a loosely accurate position and waits for the ball to go in behind him and then lunges at the last minute. So it looks as if he's made some cool block, but actually the ball just goes past him. And that is what he's done so many times this season. And it looks like he's, and the worst thing is, to somebody who doesn't watch him every week, you know, to Norwich, apparently, that makes him look like a very good defender, because, you know, he's making last ditch tackles and he's heading things at the last minute and he's putting himself about. But actually, the reason he's having to do all these things is because he's not doing the basics. He's not positioning himself right. He's trying to look cool and he's trying to defend in a way that looks stylish. I honestly think, and I don't want to accuse him of sort of showboating, because it's definitely not that, but I honestly think he's thinking about, how do I look when I'm doing this? Do I look aesthetically pleasing? Do I look like a cool Bov defender? When actually what he should be thinking about is, how can I keep the ball out of the goal? He is frustrating the hell out of me. I do not want to see him start for the rest of the season. I think Wallin has been so much better with Hughes. I think Manny, you know, Manny was good to an extent when Hughes wasn't in the team, because we needed someone to win headers, and when it went long, Manny was okay at doing that. He didn't really do much with the headers, you know, his headers weren't accurate, but they'd get the ball away and it did the job. But now we've got Hughes to do that, Manny becomes null and void in that team, because there's nothing he brings to the party that isn't already on the pitch. Yeah, I think, listen, I'm getting very frustrated with him. I don't know why he didn't take the offer from Norwich in January. I think he should have taken that offer. I think the club very much wanted him to take that offer, because I think they thought they'd had Norwich's pants down getting any sum of decent money for a player that at the end of the day could be a very good player, but could also end up being a National League footballer. He needs to switch on. He needs to get better. He needs to see today as a wake-up call. He needs to get his act together and start playing like a League One defender and not like somebody who's playing down a level, because he isn't. He is very much playing above his level, if not at his level. yeah, he needs to switch on. I'm finding him incredibly frustrating to watch, and I don't want to see him anywhere near the team on Tuesday night, and not really at Wembley either.
Yeah, and I think the underpinning point here is just a serious lack of aggression from him. It's the, we've already talked about all the lethargic passing and stuff, but he didn't get close enough on the first goal, which then he'd already made the mistake before that. But as the ball came in to the man he was meant to be marking, he was nowhere near him. Simple layoff, and he aimlessly runs towards that player, vacating the space behind him, which Hughes does his best to stop and ends up scoring an own goal. Look at where Hughes was on his man compared to where Manny was only a moment later on either of the two men that he was looking at. He was nowhere near. Second goal, he attempts to help Dornelli out. I think personally it was a bit of ball watching. He should have let Dornelli just try and deal with that, even if unsuccessfully, because he's gone in not aggressively enough, vacated the space behind him, and it's left to Eden and Collins to try and deal with pinball in the box. And then on the third one, again, failing to stop the cross. I know it went under his foot, but he was still a yard away from that man. He's got to be more aggressive. He's got to be closer. He's a physical presence. That's what I wanted to say on it. If he's going to focus on improving, I'm not sure he even cares about improving. I can't tell from the way he meanders around the pitch. But if he does, get closer to your men. Get more aggressive.
Yeah, you know what? The other day I was in my car and it started playing an old episode of Up the Poshcast. I don't know when it was from, but it was like early on in the season, September, October time. And I listened to the first 5 minutes and we were all waxing lyrical over Manny Fernandez. And it did remind me at the beginning of the season, even though we were rubbish and we weren't getting the results we wanted, Manny was one of the best performers in the team. And it's just, it's crazy to think now we're in March and we've sorted out all of the issues. And it turns out Manny was actually one of the biggest issues. His last three games for us, Lincoln away, we conceded 5. Charlton away, he got sent off. And then despite playing a few minutes against Cambridge and Charlton today. So his last three starts for us have been a disaster for him. And yeah, I was ready to defend him today, especially after that first goal. I thought, you know what, we can put it down to rustiness. He hasn't played for a while. He's getting back into the team. But after the second goal, never mind rustiness, it was pure corrosion in that back line. The space he's left at the back post. And Jed Steer, I put this down as Jed's, the only thing that he could have done better today for Steer was dealing with that second goal. Because he did step out. And he, I don't know, we were discussing this before recording. I think he's trusting the person on the back post to head the ball away. But the person on the back post was Archie Collins, who's one of the shortest players on the team. And it was Manny Fernandez's space. He was the one that should have been there. But like you just said, Harry, he's overcommitted. Ball watching. The ball's on the left-hand side. Dornelli should be dealing with it as the right back. And Manny Fernandez has gone out there for just no reason whatsoever. I think playing with Hughes will do him some good if he does get the opportunity, because it's clearly worked on Oscar Wallen, and I think Manny needs that experienced centre-back to play alongside, to learn how to focus on the game and not ball watch and just be aware of his surroundings. But we haven't got long left until the game at Wembley, and it's completely up in the air about which centre-back pairing is going to play. I don't know how you guys feel. I kind of still want Manny to play just because I'm not confident with Katongo at centre-back and I don't think Nevitt's played enough. And apart from that, we have no other options. So I don't know if any of you guys have anything better than that, but we're going to have to keep playing Manny in preparation for this Virtue final. Otherwise, we're just going to get today's performance again.
Absolutely disagree. So I would go, if players are available, I'd go Wallen. And I would go Katongo. Or potentially, I would go Wallen and potentially Cipriano. That will then leave a space in midfield for Sissoho to come into midfield. You know, people are turning the nose up. I believe he plays centre-back for his country. So it's not as if it's a new position for him. But what I would not be doing is playing fucking money. You know, it doesn't deserve a chance, especially what Lodge just said after some of the stats that you've just come up with. Absolutely no chance. Why should we allow somebody to have a Wembley appearance when they can't even put the effort in and just run a couple of yards against Reading? You know, absolutely no chance. So centre back for me, I would go with Wallin and who did I just say? Katongo to start off with. Let's see what happens. But it wouldn't be Fernandez. Absolutely no way, unless things change drastically in the next couple of games, which I'm not sure it is, but that's who I'd go with. And yeah, so that's who I'm going with, mate. Anybody got any different options?
I'm not sure it's a different option. I think today was a tough watch as someone who, I'm not sure I've defended Manny. I think I remember distinctly flagging after the Northampton game that I was pretty sick of his attitude, as you've all mentioned. But I do think I've been probably more critical of Oscar Vallin than anybody else on this podcast. And I was pretty much of the opinion that Fernandez and Hughes was probably our best centre-back pairing. I'm not sure I can stand by that after today. The first two goals are just Manny giving the ball away in the central area. And it's just the repeated mistakes that he's making. It's just carelessness in possession. It's that lack of aggression that you guys have talked about. And you look over the course of the season and the stats, they don't really lie. Manny, every time he's played and started in defence, we've conceded 1.9 goals a game. So almost two goals a game. When Vallin started, it's 1.41 goals a game, which isn't great, but it's considerably better than Fernandez is. And then Hughes is just over 1.08 per 90 minutes we've conceded with him in the defence. So you look at the stats and it's a pretty damning indictment on Manny, and you kind of wonder what kick, Charlie, you said today needs to be the kick up the arse, but how many more wake-up calls can he have? He's not been in the team. We're starting to play well. You think he wants his place back. He's got a Wembley final at stake. And Dale, like you said, I think he's just played his way out of the team. I think Fergie taking off a centre-back after 70 minutes probably summed up what he thought of his performance. And I'm not really sure where you go from there if you're Fernandez. I'm not sure how he gets back in this team unless there's injuries really now. The issue I have with the Wembley one is I'm not sure Katongo's been much better than Fernandez over the course of the season anyway. Certainly this season. Like the Katongo we all talk about is the Katongo of last season, right? If he wasn't here last season and we'd only seen his body of work from this season, I'm not sure we'd all be going, let's start him at Wembley, because he's been really poor throughout the season. And even when he came on today, there was a bouncing ball. He didn't attack it. He let it bounce. The striker got in ahead of him and got his body. And it didn't lead to a chance or anything. But I just thought that was the issue with playing Katongo at centre back. He doesn't win enough in the air and he's not strong enough. You look at where else? You talk about Kyprianou, Dale, and I've suggested playing Kyprianou as a centre back. But he plays in a three with Cyprus. So it going into a two is different to what he normally plays in. And then beyond that, George Nevitt. But it's a big pitch at Wembley. We know Nevitt's weakness is probably his ability to chase back, his pace, his lack of pace. And that could be exposed at Wembley. So I don't really know where you go from there. I think one thing I would say in Fernandez's defence is I think the game at St Andrews where Vallin and Fernandez played. I know we conceded three that day, but I actually thought it was one of his better games. And with Fernandez, you do carry a set piece threat, which, look, we're not going to be carving Birmingham open, I don't think. So having that set piece threat may just be an advantage, because if there is one vulnerability about Birmingham, particularly in the early part of the season, it was that they were conceding a few corners. But I'm not sure that's enough for him to start. And certainly performances like today, and I think his attitude today more than anything, not just his performance, but the fact that he was so blasé and so casual about even after he's made defending, certainly doesn't help to stake his claim and certainly doesn't win him many fans. And it is becoming increasingly difficult to issue a case for the defence for Manny Fernandez, I think.
Another area of the defence that is, to be honest, pretty much nailed on for Wembley is Mills is going to be a left back, right? And it was interesting to see him not even make the squad today. Don't think it was performance related. All of us who were there at Charlton saw he played pretty damn well in that game. and he's played pretty damn well in the Virtu Trophy as it's gone along. I think that Tayo's a really good player. Today was not his best day, and I think he'll probably recognise that. And once again, much better going forward than defensively, even though I do think he can be good defensively on his day. I'm actually hoping that we now, given the way the games fall, that we see Mills come in on Tuesday and Tayo on Saturday against Cobblers, and then Mills again against Birmingham twice, because it's giving this youth player an opportunity to get some games in, but knowing they're going to be rotated out, plus crucially giving him potentially 60, maybe even 90 minutes against Birmingham in essentially a dry run on a Tuesday night, when he is going to have to, he knows he is the one playing against them on Sunday, barring playing Carl Johnson at left back, which I would definitely recommend against, because he should be there available on the right. It's good to have this competition, but yeah, I also think that it would have been nice to have Mills available today as well, because in a game where Tayo was struggling a little bit, or even could have moved up to left wing and come on for Odo, not to have that option there. And especially, I think it sounded like he reacted well based on what Fergie said in his interview. He reacted positively to being told he was being dropped. But I hope to see him repeatedly over the coming weeks as we gear up to this final.
Okay, do you know what? I think we spoke about a couple of the negatives quite a bit. I think we should move on with some of the positives, if I'm honest. Mills, he's got to be playing thingy. Am I right in thinking that Johnson's cup tied? So Johnson will be cup tied. So obviously,
sorry, of course. That. Yes, of course.
Don't worry, Harry. We're here for you, mate. We're here for you. If you move further up the pitch, midfield today, let's use all three of them. We had Sissoko, Kipriano when he come on. I think that was a good move as well, giving Sissoko a start. And also Collins. I know Collins went off, but I actually thought he had a decent game. I don't think there was an issue with the midfield three as such. So they weren't fantastic. They weren't shit. I think that was all pretty average. And then I think we'll move on to the outer side. Odo. Fucking hell. What is that miss all about? What is that miss? It looked bad in real time, but when you look back at it on the shot, you're like, what the fuck, you know? Just put your... I don't even know what to say. I'm sure... I reckon someone will have something to say about it in a minute, but that was awful. And, overall, we created chances. We was creating the chances, and there's no reason why we couldn't have got something out of that game, even though we didn't have the penalty, even though the ref was shit for both sides. But the amount of chances we created, we could have had a few more goals. Well, not a few. We should have had a few more goals, because we're just not taking them at the moment. Where one day, and I said on the pod again the other day, is I actually thought we're going to batter a team soon, because the chances we are creating, we just need somebody to be able to put in the back of the fucking net. And at the moment, we clearly haven't got that. But, when we've got some of the gilt cut open chances, we've got to take them. And Odo, mate, oh, fucking hell. He nearly went off for a corner. Right, it wasn't that bad, but, it's right in front of goal and it's gone over there. But, we weren't great today. We wasn't shit. I think it was an average game that we could have got a bit more out of. But, mate, I just got to pass that Odo over to you, John, to see what your view of it is.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just his miss, Odell. I feel like I am pretty harsh on Odo, but then I watch him and I'm like, what are people seeing in this guy that's making him think he is good enough? Or there's a player in there. That seems to be the line coming out of the club at the minute. There's definitely a player in there. But I watch him. He's rubbish. I'm sorry. He's had a couple of good games, one against 10 men at the bottom of the league, and he scored a good goal, a very good goal against Charlton. He then proceeded to miss when the goalkeeper was lying on the floor, and now he's missed an open goal from 4 yards in his last, 145 minutes of football. So we're back to that Odo standard that I saw over the start of the season. And today it wasn't just the miss. He constantly ran into his defender. He could barely complete a pass. His one redeeming quality is that he does defend okay. He gets back in and he covers. But I was thinking about this today, And I'm struggling to think of a worse Peterborough United winger that started relatively regularly over the course of the season. Odo's probably played, what, 30, 35 games. Certainly in recent years. I go back and I think of, I don't know, obviously he's not at Mason Clark or Poku or Dembele's level. But I go back and I think back to Joe Ward. I think back to Gwion Edwards. I think these players are substantially better than Abraham Odo, who scored one League One goal, may I remind everyone, in the entire campaign. I think back to even David Ajiboy. I genuinely think Ajiboy is a better footballer than Abraham Odo. I know they play slightly different positions, but I really, really struggle with him. And I think today just encapsulates where we're at with him. But he seems so popular. Like, he walked past the Posh fans today and people were standing up. And I was like, where are our standards? So the standards on the floor here. We're like, what are you standing up and applauding? I was nearly standing up and applauding Fergie for taking him off. I'm at my wit's end because I feel like what I'm watching on the pitch just doesn't equate to my eyes or what the fan base is seeing him. But I've never, ever been so certain he is never making it at this level. He will never, ever be good enough for Posh. I'm utterly convinced of it. And if I'm wrong, I will hold my hands up and everybody that listens to this podcast and everyone on this podcast can remind me of this episode and call me a fucking idiot. And I will completely doubt any modicum of footballing knowledge that I think I have. But he is terrible and he will never make it at Posh.
I think one of my highlights of today's game was when Odo walked past the Posh fans and they all started singing his song, and I just turned and I've never seen a bigger look of disgust than on the faces of Ash and John as they just looked around and were like, what are we doing here, guys? Listen, Odo wasn't good today. He wasn't. But I do think you've been so harsh on him there, John. I mean, I don't think he's in the. I don't think he's the one of the worst players I've seen wear the shirt. You know, one of the worst players.
Charlie, can you answer the question? Which one of our wingers that have started or played 30 games can you name that Odo's better than?
I mean, I'm from a generation where I've been very, very blessed with very, very good wingers.
This is such a politician's answer. Look, it's all the time.
I'll go for, I mean, listen, if you really want one, Leonardo da Silva Lopez, he was crap.
didn't play winger bullshit. At 13 level.
Absolute bullshit. The poor bloke was always played a fucking wing back. You know, he was always played out of position. So you're not over that one, Charlie. I think you need to come again.
Okay, right. Well, I'll think of someone else. But anyway, back to my point is that he started 15 games in the league for us, 15 games, and he's got 6 goal contributions, which, you know, they're not the most, you know, they're not setting the world alight. They're not the most fantastic numbers, but he's netting just over 1 in 3 a contribution once every 3 games, which for a player in a team that, let's not forget, are down at the bottom end of League One, it's not terrible. It isn't terrible. That said, he wasn't good today. The miss was terrible. I think, listen, if it was last season, that miss, and, you know, Ephraim Mason-Clark or Ricky J. Jones, God forbid, had that miss when our standards were a bit higher, then I'd think, you know, that screenshot that I think Lods has posted in the group chat, and hopefully will get posted to Twitter. If not, I'll do it before the episode comes out. It's a bad one. It's one from sort of behind the goal when you can see how much of the goal he's got to aim at, and it is terrible. But I do think he's shown signs of promise. I think he's had a good run of games. I think his performance today was poor. The miss was poor, but I actually don't think he was awful. I think he had a couple of nice moments, a couple of times where he cut inside, he beat his man a couple of times. Granted, it was quite few and far between moments, but they did exist. I think he was poor, but I don't think any of the attackers were particularly good. I mean, if you want to, you know, John has his little Odo thing. I think one of the players that I'm most sort of I scrutinize the most is Malik Mothersill. I always have throughout the season. I think it's just become a thing where when he plays, whether good or bad, my comment is on him is quite heavily scrutinized. I thought he was poor today. He had probably what I thought was his best game, one of his best games in a Posh shirt, but definitely his best game in the new role against Charlton on Saturday. Malik Mothersill was poor today. I think his final pass was not there. I think when he was getting the ball on the half turn, he wasn't really making the right decision. And then there was a couple of times where he got played through and his touch was heavy. Yeah, I'm not sure about Malik Mothersill's performance today. I think if we're going in hard on Addo, while I don't think Mothersill was as bad as Addo, I think we have to give Mothersill a portion of criticism because I think he wasn't great.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Charlie. And I don't want to spend too long on this, but I do think it's important that look, I've been critical of Addo. I'm very much for Mothersill. I think people that have listened regularly know that. Mothersill was nowhere near his best today. I actually thought it was one of the first times that I've seen it where I felt like he didn't show for the ball enough. There was a really good example in the first half where Sam Hughes had basically nowhere to pass. Mothersill was in the 10 role. He was too advanced, didn't drop in. Hughes then gave the ball away. He had no options, and that was entirely dependent on Mothersill. I thought he made a couple of good line breaking runs, but when he did get into the box, he chopped inside at one point when we had a complete about four men in the box and had a shot rather than passing, which was quite greedy. And I just thought he was pretty wasteful. Didn't think he really did himself justice today. So it's not just my favourite players that I defend and the same people that I criticise. I think today was certainly one of Mothersill's lesser performances of the season, and I wasn't particularly impressed with him either.
All right, we are getting closer to this final that we talked about a little bit earlier, and this week it's been ramping up with the whole tickets chat. I mean, I'm encouraged to see that we're starting to move into a few new blocks, but are we going to hit 20k? I'm not sure. Meanwhile, you got the club putting out official statements that if Birmingham fans try and get tickets in our end, that it's going to be banning orders. It sounds like Birmingham, although they've already got 43,000 sold, they want something like another 20,000. It's just crazy. I don't know. Del, would you give them any more?
100% I would. I'd rather have a full Wembley than an empty Wembley, right? Clearly, we are not selling our tickets. We're not selling as many as last season. I think Charlie alluded to last week that, a lot of day trippers have had their day at Wembley. I don't want to have one so quick because we seem to be there every year at the moment, obviously. We're struggling to sell 20. We may, at a push, sell our level two. I would have no issues if they had the whole of the top tier, which could work. Because when you go to away games, when you go to England games, you have England all around the top, and you normally have the away section over in the corner, however big the corner is. I don't have an issue if Birmingham fucking take over. They're already taking over. They're already like outnumbered 2-1, whatever it is. End of the day, it could work in our favour. You've got the big following of Birmingham, and you've got little old Peterborough. They're going to think fucking Birmingham going to win it. Who knows? We could be the little team with like fucking 20,000, a fifth. Right, a fourth of the attendance, and we beat them. How good would that be? How good would that be if you got fucking Birmingham all round the top, Birmingham all fucking halfway around the level two and level one, and we do them? It would be fucking excellent. But, let's not get too carried away with the result at the moment. We're talking about tickets, and yeah, if they're going to sell them fairly. What I would be fucked off about is if there are load of Birmingham in amongst the Peterborough fans. We need to prevent that somehow. And I think the only way of preventing that is by giving them a bigger ratio rather than having them in Wembley, because I don't think that should be right. Whether it's, even if I was a big team, I'd still be like saying, let's have a full Wembley, because there's nothing better. There's nothing worse either than seeing a fucking empty, half empty Wembley. And let's face it, we're not going to sell a top tier. So at the moment, that will be all red. You know, it'll be Birmingham we'll be looking out to in front of us and to the left, because I think they encroach slightly on our side. But yeah, let's do it. I've got no qualms with it whatsoever. And I think it's the safest way to give them a bigger, you know, a bigger, what do you call it, allocation. So yeah, fucking let's do it and keep them out the Peterborough end, amongst the Peterborough fans, I should say.
Never mind Wembley looking good as well. You got to think how much more money we would make if we sold some of our allocation to Birmingham. And I think, didn't Dara say, before the tickets even went on sale, didn't he say that Birmingham asked for 50,000 initially? And I don't know why we wouldn't have agreed to that, to be honest. I know we took 22,500 last year, but I'm very surprised if there was anyone that thought we were going to take more than that this year. I know Birmingham are a bigger team, but surely we're expecting to lose this one. This time last year, when we knew we were facing Wickham, we were high-flying in the league, we knew Wickham were there for the taking. This is completely different now. If we're going to Wembley, we're expecting to lose. And like Dell said, anyone that wanted to go to Wembley went last year. So I don't know why we thought we would take anywhere near 22,500. And I don't know why we didn't snap Birmingham's hand off when they asked for 50,000, because that would have been more money in our pocket. Which, I mean, Dara's already, I wouldn't say slagged off the competition, but I think didn't he make a comment saying that to make it financially viable, you have to win the whole thing or something like that? There's not a lot of money in this tournament at all. So I don't know why we wouldn't take advantage of the fact that we're playing in a 90,000 seater stadium and we're playing against a team that could probably sell 60,000 tickets and we're only letting them have 40,000 or whatever it is we've allowed them to have.
Yeah, I think that's the point, Lords. And you've got to think about what is sort of the greater good. And for me, what are the things that will really upset me at Wembley? What are the things that would affect my day? I think having a load of Birmingham fans in the posh end would really negatively affect my day, especially if it gets to that point and there's idiots and, you know, there's scraps and there's stewards everywhere and I can't watch the football because you're just constantly involved in crowd trouble. You know, that's one thing that would really, really ruin my day. Another thing that would really, really ruin my day is there being a load of empty seats. And I genuinely think I would much rather see an absolute sea of royal blue than red seats above me. I think realistically, there's no atmosphere at Wembley. There really isn't. I've never, you know, I went to the Carabao Cup final a few weeks ago, Newcastle Liverpool, and I sat on the bottom tier between the Newcastle and Liverpool fans. And to look at, both of the ends were fantastic, but actually there was not really a lot of noise, not really a lot of difference between, you know, the left and the right of me, even though, you know, both fan bases were singing their hearts out. It was relatively flat. And I honestly think the only fans that really contribute to any sort of atmosphere in Wembley are in the bottom tier anyway. And that will be sold out for Birmingham and pretty much sold out for Posh. So I don't see why we wouldn't give more tickets. I think, you know, if there are any Birmingham fans listening to this, I think the vast majority of Posh fans actually would not really care if you received more tickets. They'd rather you not be in our end because it just, you know, it's never nice. But I don't think many of us would be bothered about that at all. And we'd be more than happy for you guys to get more tickets if we're not going to sell them, because, yeah, more money for the club, a bigger spectacle. And yeah, more Birmingham fans rattled if we win as well, which is always nice to see.
I've just got to really pick you up on one thing. You say there's never any atmosphere at Wembley. Well, I've been at Wembley and I've probably enjoyed one of my best ever atmospheres at a game, which was England versus Denmark in a semi-final during the Euros. Fucking amazing, right? I was up there where there was about five to a seat because people was getting in when they shouldn't be getting in. The middle tier was shut. It was fucking moving. Wembley was moving. And I mean, it was shaking. It was vibrating. It was fucking, honestly, Charlie, the atmosphere was superb. Granted, you're not going to get that all the time. And I do take on board what you say about, you know, you normally got the prawn cocktail fucking brigade in lit tier two. Is Ashley in tier two, by the way? Anyway, so you've got the people in tier two. Most of the atmosphere does come from behind the goals, granted. And also, you'll find there'll be elements around the top where people trying to get the cheaper seats, but you know, overall, I think it will be a good atmosphere because Birmingham will create that fucking atmosphere, and we need to, you know, do what we can do to sort of contra it the best we can. But yeah, well, I'm with you, Charlie. Let's have no empty seats. Let's just fucking fill it. You know, what better way would it be to be part of the biggest ever attendance of a fucking Leyland Trophy, Sherpa, Pizza Trophy, Virtual Cup, whatever you call it. It'll be great. Peterborough versus Birmingham. Go down in history.
All right. Next, I say next Tuesday, this Tuesday, probably a day after you listen to this recording, we play Crawley Town away, who, despite not having a great season, only went and won 4-0 away on the day that we're recording this. Potentially a little bit more of a stiff test than we might have expected. I mean, I think all of us here going. Can I get some nods, shakes of heads? Is everyone going? Yeah, nice. I think it's gonna be I think it might even be a full house from the Poshcast crew. Charlie, have you been before? What are you thinking?
I've not been before. And what I'm thinking is that I am really nervous. Scott Lindsay and Crawley is a bit of a match made in heaven, I feel like. I actually went to their playoff semi-final away at MK Dons last season when they got promoted, and they had that sort of League Two super squad with Lindsay, and they won 5-1 away at MK Dons. And still to this day, I think that's probably the most sort of complete team performance I've ever seen from a team live at a game. They were ridiculously good. And if they get anywhere near that level on Tuesday night, I'm going to be really worried. They've gone on a bit of a roll, haven't they, Crawley? I mean, he's come back in. They beat Bristol Rovers, I think it was, in a really big game. And then they've gone away and absolutely tonked Rotherham. They're going to be back. It's going to be a good atmosphere at Crawley. I've seen they've done this thing where that you can get the last four home games for something like 60 quid for an adult, that is. So, you know, £15 a game. You know, they're calling it the drive for survive, and I think it might work to create a really good atmosphere there. I've never been. I'm excited to go. I'll be in the terrace. But yeah, we need to react today. But honestly, I think Tuesday night could be tougher on paper than today was, just because I think it will be really nitty gritty, a real atmosphere. Crawley are going to be absolutely in our face from the minute one. Reading seemed a little bit stunned today. A lot of their fans seemed a little bit subdued after the sad news in the week. Whereas Crawley, it's pure grit. It's pure fight back. It's pure comeback against the odds. And it's going to be a really, really tough game. And I don't think we should be under any illusions that they will play better, I think, than their league position suggests.
I get what you're saying, Charlie. They've definitely had a bit of a new manager bounce, or a new old manager bounce, should we say. But I don't know if I think it's going to be a tougher game than Reading away. They are near the bottom of the league for a reason. That squad that you talk about, I'm sure you're aware of, has been pretty much disbanded now, and there's very few of them left. And look, we know how bad we were when we were staring down the barrel of being 20th and looking at relegation. For a team to be picking up less points than us by a considerable distance, 9 points at this stage of the season, Crawley are behind us, they can't be very good. This is a game where we should be favourites. The way we're playing, I don't think we should be going into it with that trepidation. Crawley Holt, how many people are going to be there? 3,000 maybe? I don't think it's going to be particularly hostile. They're going to be more up for it than they were maybe 3 weeks ago, given the fact that they've won two games on the bounce. But there's still 9 points between us. There's still a fair way behind us. This is a game we should absolutely be going there and dominating, quite frankly. We have the quality to do that, I believe, against the Crawley side that I don't think are a great team, despite their result today. And I would like us to see us make sure that we don't drop into that demise again where we suffer one result and it really affects confidence. I want us to just continue what we're doing. If we reach the levels that we reached against Charlton or any of the games really in that unbeaten period, I'm more than sure we'll be fine and we'll have the quality to go away and beat Crawley.
Yeah, I'm with John on this. I do think Crawley play a good brand of football, like what Reading do, and I think they will give us a good game, but the standard must be a lot lower than what than what we usually play against, surely, because they're so much further down the table than us. Even though they play a good brand of football, it should just be a comfortable a win for us. If we think that we're over this poor run of form and we've turned a corner, we should be winning this. In terms of team selection as well, I know Fergie had 22 outfield players fit, didn't he, before the game today? And Harry touched on Mills not making the squad. There's a few others that didn't make the squad. Chris Conclark didn't make it. Brad didn't make it. I can see him using today's loss as a reason to do a full rotation. I think, for me, I don't really mind who plays. I don't think there's sort of a clear, strong 11 at the moment. Or you could at least make an argument to start some of the players that you don't think are in the strongest 11, i.e. the final that we're playing at Wembley. I think we should be starting whichever centre-back he's planning on playing at Wembley. I think either start Fernandez again, just to give him that run, ideally playing with Hughes to improve his concentration a bit. Or if he thinks that that's not going to be what he's going to do, then he needs to start giving Katongo minutes at centre-back, because I assume Katongo's higher up the pecking order than what George Nevitt is. George Nevitt barely makes a squad at all these days. But I think Katongo needs to be played at centre-back a bit more, just so we can see him, just so we can judge whether centre-back is a good enough position for him, especially in a game as big as... He started, didn't he, last year at Wembley? I suppose he's got that in his favour. I know he was at right-back, but he's obviously played there before in a similar sort of environment. And then, yeah, Mills as well. I'd bring him in. I do like Teo. I do think Teo's better. But we seem to have a different rule for Dornelli, where CJ's come back fit again, but he stayed on the bench and Dornelli's carried on playing. We didn't have the same rule for Mills. Mills was playing well. Teo's come back in, but Teo's just completely displaced him. So I would rotate them between now and the final, sort of what you said earlier, Harry, and I think this would be a good game for Mills to start.
Yeah, I'm with you. Once again, it's not necessarily a criticism for Eden, and I'd play him again on Saturday, but for this Tuesday night game, let's get Mills in and then give him the Saturday off to come back against Birmingham on the following Tuesday. I am not with you on playing the Wembley starting team, though, personally. I think that I'd be going straight back to Hughes and Vallin. Let's play with our front foot forward. And I might change in CJ for Dornelli, just to give Dornelli a bit of a break. It was a tough game today for him. I think physically in particular, it was a tough game for him. I don't think he was bad on the ball, really, but it was a real challenge. And I think Crawley will also be a real challenge. And CJ looked pretty lively when he came on. Let's give him another chance. For the midfielders, assuming Sissoko's not too injured, I'd be probably starting him with Collins again, just because I don't think he did anything to be dropped today. And it's no real problem with Kyprianou. It's just the fact that they look good together against Charlton. They look reasonable today. The midfield wasn't the reason we lost. And so, again, it's just not being deserved to being dropped. But I would be taking Odo out. I'd consider probably getting Lindgren some minutes and getting Ricky out on the left or Motherseal on the left. I would go with Ricky probably, because I think Motherseal is growing into this shadow striker role. And every minute he can get doing that is probably the most optimal option for him.
So actually, fuck Wembley at the moment. I would go in the strongest team available to play and to beat Crawley, because, you know, whilst I think we're safe at the moment, we need to make sure we're safe and, you know, play our strongest team. Whoever that is, play our strongest team. No issues whatsoever. Am I also right in thinking that when we played Wrexham, we didn't fucking have players playing just ready to get into the Wrexham lineup? You know, Dornelli come in, Mills come in. You know, who else played at centre-back? They come in fresh for that one game and we got the result. Yeah? So I wouldn't worry about sort of playing players just so they're ready to go to Wembley. We have got to play our strongest team between now and then to make sure we get in safe and go from there. And then, you know, and then what will be. But as far as some changes, I would definitely fuck Ricky off. I know it's a different opinion, but I would fuck Ricky off. And if Brad is fit, I'd pop Brad in. Absolutely put him in. because I think he's a better player than Ricky. I wouldn't touch Gustav at the moment. I'd probably have him on the bench maybe to come on. It'd be nice to find a way to get Kieran to start because, as we said, he's been, you know, he was doing quite well. But unfortunately, with Poku coming back, he's lost his place. Where normally, if it's any other player, he wouldn't have lost his place, would he? Is that fair to say? So yeah.
Who's Kieran again?
Oh, what's his fucking name? Kieran. Right. Anyway, what's his surname now? I forgot. Kieran Hayes. Fucking hell. Do you know what I mean? He's done nothing wrong to sort of warrant being dropped. So, but yeah, now play our strongest team. Wembley can fucking wait for another couple of weeks. Get the points on the board and see where we go from there.
All right. I think we're there. It's time for predictions for the Crawley game. John, lead us off.
Yeah, I'm going 3-0 Posh, Kieran hat-trick.
I am going to be a lot more conservative than that. I predicted we'd beat Reading 1-0 today and we lost. So I'm thinking that they could still be on a new manager bounce and I'm going to go with 1-1. Kieran Hayes, one goal.
Fuck it, I'm going 3-1 win. Don't care who scores. Couldn't give a fuck. 3-1. We need to win. Get it in there.
John, you said 3-1 as well, didn't you?
3-0.
Did you? Okay. I was going to go for 3-1. I'll go for 4-1. I've actually just looked when we last scored 3 away from home. And we've only done it once in the league this season. And it was the very first away game away at Shrewsbury where we scored 4. We haven't scored more than 2 apart from that one game. And I think
it's because Joel Randall left, lads. That's why.
Yeah. I think Tuesday night will be the one. Even though it's April Fool's, we should have done that. We should have all just predicted like ridiculous scores because it was April Fool's. Oh, well. I'll go for 4-1.
Yeah, well, I am going to... Well, it's annoying. Harry's actually nicked my prediction. I was going to go for a rather conservative 1-1. But... I guess I'm going to have to spice it up a little bit. And yeah, I'll go for a Posh win. 2-1 Posh. Kean Hayes, I think, is going to score. And then who will I give a goal to? Jed Steer.
Charlie, once again, having predicted Oscar Vallon would score a 29-yarder today, and he didn't even make the lineup. Thanks for the prediction there, Charlie. Right, we are there. Thank you all for listening. If you are on YouTube, please subscribe, comment. If there's Reading fans, do you agree that the referee was honking today? If there's Birmingham fans, what do you think about getting more tickets? And if there's any Crawley fans, what do you think you're going to do in the game on Tuesday? But for the Posh fans, as always, up the Posh car.
Up the Posh car.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
If Steer actually scores, you guys are going to look really silly.